world football from Ivory Coast.
Welcome to Abidjan. Hello from me, John Bennett. I'm in the plateau area of the city, the business district, surrounded by water and not far away from one of the stadiums that's been used at this tournament. And it's finally semi-final time at what's been a wonderful Africa Cup of Nations so far. Nigeria against South Africa will kick us off in Bouake, then DR Congo against the hosts Ivory Coast, the Houdini escape artists of this tournament. That's taking place at the Alassane Ouattara Stadium, which is about 11 miles out of town from where I am now. So let's recap Ivory Coast tournament. They were on the brink of going out in the group stage. They sacked their manager. Then they were 4 minutes away from packing their bags in the last 16, and then seconds away from being eliminated in the quarterfinals. But they are still here, much to the excitement of the people in Abidjan. Yes, that was the reaction to reaching the last four at one of the outdoor viewing areas here in the city. Let's look ahead to both AFCON semi-finals then, with the man who is hoping his team can be the spoil sports. It's the former DR Congo captain, Gabriel Zakwani. Hi, Gabby. So you're taking on Ivory Coast in the semi-finals. Do you enjoy ruining parties?
I'm not sure. I think we're ruining their party, but our party's only getting started now.
I know you're still involved with the national team. You've been talking regularly to the head coach, Sebastien de Sabre. He's done a fantastic job. The captain, Chancel Mbemba, who's been sensational as well at the back, but also scoring goals. Are they relishing this? Is there any fear whatsoever about the fact that the crowd will be against them?
No, I think they've enjoyed it. It's shown a lot of maturity from the team, because we've been living in off the coming of third place in 2015, but now we've got a chance to go one better. And who better to avenge than the team that knocked us out of 2015? So there's a little bit of history there with Ivory Coast. And I think they're enjoying it. They're enjoying being the underdogs and surprising everyone and kind of going under the radar with the draws. Took a while to get that first win in the 90 minutes. And now I think it's just let the shackles off and let it take place. And I think in terms of the way we performed in this tournament, you can't really write us off. The only thing with Ivory Coast is that they are, you know, the home nation, and their crowd will expect them to win. So that may add added pressure to them. With us, it's just about going there, enjoying it, because it's a good tournament, whatever happens now. But now we can sniff it and look the better team, I think, so far in the tournament. Why not go the extra mile?
Yeah, I like how you say let the shackles off, because I think you actually did that. DR Congo did that against Guinea, because you seem to be growing into the tournament. I mean, to be honest, you did set low expectations at first, let's face it, with all those draws. So a draw to Zambia when you missed loads of chances, draw to Morocco when the real drama was after the final whistle. There was the argy-bargy between your mate Mbemba and the Morocco manager, handbags after the game. Then there was the draw to Tanzania to put you through, followed by, guess what, another draw to Egypt in the last 16 and a win on penalties. So to then beat Guinea 3-1, I think for people like me, that showed another side to this team, that going forward there is real strength in the DR Congo team.
Yeah, I think the strength is undoubted going forward. I think we knew that before the tournament. When you talk about the creative players, that's what you know Congo for. But now you've got Mbemba, who's been absolutely sensational in the back line. And now he's popping up with a goal as well. I think it's showing that still is important to keep the goals out. But we know we've got the flair up top as well to create problems. And I think with Guinea, who were my dark horse, and I was tied in between, because I'm winning either way, but I'm beating you by my dark horse getting through. But with Congo, I was just, that's my home nation, and I needed them to go through. So if anyone was to knock out my dark horse, it would have been Congo. And you know, we absolutely battered them. I thought we were the better team from start to finish. The penalty that they scored was soft, to say the least. And it was another side. You know, we looked so much stronger than Guinea. And now going into this, I'm a lot more confident than I would have been at the beginning. I think now I'm very, very confident of getting through, because I've not been entertained, or I've not seen enough of Ivory Coast to really make me nervous for this game.
You've given me an open net here to mention my predictions. It's your fault. You sound mentioning this too much. But yeah, you're right. We all picked a dark horse before the tournament, and mine was South Africa, who are in the semi-finals. done. So we'll talk about them in just a moment. But I predicted all the quarterfinal winners too. Let's ignore the fact that I thought Egypt were going to win the whole tournament. Let's just ignore that. But my prediction for this game, Gabby, is that DR Congo will win. I completely agree with you. I've not been convinced by Ivory Coast at all. Does the fact that I'm predicting DR Congo will win add to your confidence, or does it take it away?
No, it's in the back of my mind, you know, and I'm thinking hopefully your good luck so far could work in this one. But I just don't want history to repeat itself. So I would rather you didn't back Congo so much, you know.
But I'm right. I think we're both right. Ivory Coast have not been convincing. It's just luck all the time, isn't it? Luck's probably harsh, but they can't keep escaping like this. They can't keep coming up with these Houdini acts.
Yeah, I think it'll be the biggest robbery if they actually get to the final and win it. You know, I think that I've never seen anything like it, because they should have been knocked out in the group stage. They had a second chance. But you've got to give credit to the caretaker boss who's come in and calmed things down. And his demeanour has been quite reassuring in the media. He's not too loud. I've seen a couple of his team talks. He's very straightforward, down the middle, keeping it simple. And they're slowly, you know, now looking on paper, you'd put them right up there as maybe favourites with Nigeria possibly. But you'd look at it and think they've got a real chance now.
Yeah, let's get more on Ivory Coast against DR Congo with another friend of world football at AFCON, former Cameroon, Newcastle and Tottenham defender Sebastian Bassong. He's been a big part of the show from our pre-tournament preview. Trouble is, he is hard to pin down because he's been travelling around Ivory Coast during the tournament, commentating for a TV station. He's also been upset with me because my pre-tournament predictions have been much better than his, especially when it came to our picks for Dark Horse. But finally, I caught up with him today.
I've been a busy man, yeah, indeed. And I've tried, you know, I've tried to get on the pod from the bus, but the connection, as you can imagine, wasn't that great. But yeah, I've been a busy man. I've been traveling all around the country. I leave the can for real. So, and it's the first time ever that I've been on that side of the fence. It's a good lesson.
What about Ivory Coast then, playing in this big semi-final against DR Congo? I don't want to rub it in, but Cameroon hosted it 2 years ago, got knocked out in the semi-finals. Do you think Ivory Coast can make it to the final, unlike the last hosts?
I think they can. Every record's got to be broken. Every data's got to be broken. Ivory Coast has been dead and buried for 3 days. So then they came back alive. So when you go through that, what can you be scared about? Nothing. There's nothing for you. You've been dead and buried. Now they're back and they are home. So the atmosphere, the city, there's so much that it's not tangible. And that's what makes them so dangerous, because overall, they haven't been producing anything anywhere good enough technically or in terms of the content that they're giving. But they have this extra bit, this extra factor. They are home, and as I said, they're not scared of anything, not even anybody, anything. So that's what makes them so dangerous. And when they turn two games around in knockout stage, you're thinking, what can happen to us? Nothing. So I think psychologically, they have a massive advantage, that even if they're 1-0 down, 2-0 down, 1-man down, they've done it before. So when you've done it before, you know where to go and tap into in your brain, in your unconscious. And they have that. Congo, they don't. So that makes maybe Ivory Coast favourite, but it's about making less mistake than your opponent.
Nigeria, South Africa, how do you see that one going? They both look a bit tired to me.
Obviously, you know, the more the competition is going on, the more tired you're going to be. Obviously, this is a no-brainer. But my question is, how long can you hold on to that? Can you just maintain? Can you just reinvent yourself? And that's my question for the Nigerian team, because they're expected to win, maybe because of the likes of Victor Osimhen and the defense. They've been good defensively. And being a former defender, for me, I like the way they defend. They've been solid and they always score a goal. So for me, as we said many times, attacking force win you games, but defense win you titles. If they can really stay as strong defensively, I think they got a chance. But South Africa, this is your dark horse, and I'm not feeling great about that. But South Africa, I think their main strength is their coach, with the experience that he has. He won the AFCON before with Cameroon. and the fact that their togetherness, they know each other really well. That's what makes them so dangerous.
Great to have you back on the pod. Don't work too hard.
No,
we'll
not
catch
too hard.
Up with you before the final.
Yeah, of course, obviously. You know, we're family.
John. Sebastian Bassong there, former Diego Congo captain, Gabriel Zakwani, another part of the family is still with me. So Gabby, Seb brought us on nicely to Nigeria against South Africa there. The big story ahead of this one, Nigeria's star man Victor Osimhen has a fitness issue. He's been suffering from abdominal discomfort. Obviously Nigeria hoping he'll be okay, but that's pretty unsettling, isn't it, for Nigeria, having a fitness doubt about your star striker ahead of such a big game.
Yeah, is it? Obviously, he's the star man, the guy we spoke about before the tournament, the guy everyone's eyes are on, biggest name in African football at this moment in time. So it's going to be a problem. But he's ran himself into the ground. He's worked so hard. The goals haven't come. So Lookman has took that mantelpiece and stood up to, you know, to take on the mantle and become the main man sort of in the goal scoring sense. But the work rate of Victor Osimhen has surprised me, the way he's worked for the team. He's been very unselfish, which a lot of strikers don't like to be, but he's done that for the team and he's run himself into the ground. But I think he'll be all right. I think it's a fitness issue for him, but I think they've got more than enough. And their defence has been so, so solid. Chooster Kong has been unbelievable. And they can always nick a goal, like Sebastian just said. So I think it is a worry, but they've got other players also who are chipping in with that attacking force.
The man trying to stop Nigeria scoring is one of the players of this tournament, surely. Ronwen Williams, South Africa's goalkeeper and captain. He's just made history, saved 4 out of 5 penalties in the shootout in the last round for South Africa. Incredible performance. The first keeper to do that at an AFCON. So South Africa will now feature in their first semi-final since the year 2000. And a bit of African football nostalgia for you now, Gabby. All of us old enough to watch the 1990 World Cup love the Cameroon team. And one of their keepers in the squad was Joseph Antoine Bell, one of the best keepers in the history of African football. We're going to hear from him now because I've been asking Joseph Antoine Bell, former Cameroon keeper, what he made of Williams' performance.
We must be honest. I know people are talking about Williams because of the 4 penalties. But before that, and before that game, Williams was already a good goalkeeper. So don't set him a good goalkeeper because of penalties. Penalties could be maybe some luck. But then, remember, he was good in the game, in that same very game, and he was good in the games before. So Williams deserves to be considered a very good goalkeeper out of penalties. Don't say he's just good because of penalties.
But was it one of the best individual performances you've seen at an AFCON from a goalkeeper? Saving 4 out of 5?
Yes, that one, yes. Yes, I think in AFCON this did not happen before. So, and I know South Africa, they owe him their qualification. So now, maybe they are going to pay it back by scoring goals and winning the games before penalties.
I could listen to Joseph Antoine Bell speaking all day. What a voice. What a legend of African football. They haven't got anything to lose, have they, South Africa, in this one, Gabby?
They haven't. They're probably the only team that can go into it and enjoy it with no pressure at all. So I think they're in a good position. And he's right. They owe him some goals now to not take him to go through the penalty shootout again.
If he gets the penalties, though, I mean, they're the favourites to go through. Quite quick predictions then. It's been the theme, hasn't it? Let's get your predictions. I'm going for a Nigeria-DR Congo final. I think you're going to agree with me, aren't you?
Yeah, I think on the basis of what I've seen, they're the two that deserve to be in the final. And Nigeria, I expect them to have too much for South Africa. So yeah, DR Congo, Nigeria final.
Gabby, thank you so much. The big news is that Gabriel Zakwani might be joining me in Ivory Coast if DR Congo win the semi-final. So it's kind of turning me into a DR Congo fan, but don't tell the Ivory Coast fans that. Thanks very much, Gabby. That's all for now. World Football at AFCON. We'll be back with an episode after the semi-final. Search for World Football at AFCON on BBC Sounds or the BBC World Service website. Goodbye for now.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.